You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It was Pentecost, a church festival celebrating the first fruits of the crop that had been planted 50 days before. The word itself, Pentecost, means 50th in the Greek language, showing how that language had taken hold throughout the Roman Empire, becoming the name of even a religious feast in the little land at the eastern end of the Mediterranean called Judea. On that Pentecost, a new thing happened. A new force appeared in the world, the direct result of what happened in that land 50 days before. 50 days after his resurrection from the dead, the disciples of Jesus gathered together in one place, maybe as many as 120 of them. From heaven came the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Among them appeared something that looked like tongues of fire, and it sat on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, we are told, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Asked about the meaning of it all by highly respected Jewish people who lived in Jerusalem, having come from all kinds of nations under heaven, Simon Peter stood up resolutely and said, "This phenomenon which enables you to hear people speaking in languages you heard at your mother's knee does not mean that there is something wrong with us. We are not drunk, as some of you have suggested, because you can plainly see that it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. It is the marvel told about by the prophet Joel, 'And it shall be in the last days, says the Lord God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon the whole world, and your sons will prophesy, and your daughters, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out of my Spirit, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.'" Simon Peter addressed himself to this question: "Who is that Lord whose name will bring salvation to the people?" His answer: "Jesus of Nazareth, the man designated by God for you, with powers and marvels and signs which God did through him in your very presence, just as you know. He was the man whom you took and executed. He's the same man whom God raised, having loosed the bonds of death, for it was not possible that he should be controlled by death. Now you see it before your very eyes. This Jesus God raised up, of whom all of us are witnesses. Having been exalted to the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, and he poured out that Spirit which you now see and hear. Pentecost has become the cloudburst of God upon the whole world. It is God's method of touching the heads and hearts of people, bringing to them the good news of Jesus, giving people new life by that same power with which he raised his son Jesus from the dead. Everything else in the world, including a newborn baby, is destined for death. The Spirit of God breathed his breath upon the world with a rushing mighty wind, with a sparkling and dancing fire, bringing new life to the world. Why should anyone be surprised that the breath of God should have such power in the world? We all depend upon air from minute to minute. Air keeps us alive. If we breathe no air for the next 5 minutes, we would suffer irreversible brain damage. Air may be invisible, but it is a powerful force, filling a powerful need. Now we're talking about a new kind of air, the breath of God, lifting up people as if from the dead to a new and holy high, lifting them out of the dullness and despair which certainly cannot be called life, lifting them up to high ground so that they can walk with secure footing and breathe the clean air God gives to those who trust in him. A cloudburst like that can be a refreshing experience. It was that on the first Christian Pentecost, and it is that today, a cloudburst of the power of the Holy Spirit of God, coming to people in the good news of the one whom God sent to be the Savior of the world, raising him from the dead by his own great power, and declaring him to be the Lord of heaven and earth. The prophet Joel has God saying, "This is what I will do. I will pour out my spirit on everyone." That word "pour out" describes an abundant rainfall, his rainfall, like a cloudburst. It comes from God himself and brings to people of every age the gracious news of the living Christ. There's power in that good news. It is the power of God's Holy Spirit. Paul caught that power and learned to live by it. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," he said. "It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes." It is the power proclaimed by Peter on that new Pentecost and proclaimed by ordinary people today who come to know the living God in the living Christ, proclaimed as the good news of God by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Jesus was a mighty man of power, master of demons and disease and death. Though the master of death, he died. He laid his life on the line, not simply as a martyr to a good cause, but as the sacrifice of the ages for the sins of the world. The good news of Jesus is that this is God's way of paying for the mess people have made of the world in which they live, turning life itself into a kind of walking death. Because Jesus proved himself to be such an obedient son, selflessly offering himself for the life of the world, by his own great power, God raised him from the dead and gave him a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every disobedient knee will have to bow before him on that day when God judges the world by that man whom he has ordained. That day will come for everyone, even for you, no matter how brazenly you may have turned your back upon him. 40 days after he rose from the dead, Jesus the Christ ascended up into heaven. Without launching pad, rocket, or electronic equipment, in a demonstration of tremendous power, Jesus quietly rose and took his place at the right hand of his Father. The disciples stood gazing up into heaven, trying to catch one last glimpse of him, only to be brought back to earth by the quiet remark of one of Christ's legionnaires standing beside them. "You men of Galilee, why do you stand here staring up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you have seen go into heaven will come again in just the same way as you have seen him go into heaven." Now they were all together in one place. And another miracle happened. First came the sound of a rushing mighty wind, like a hurricane thundering through the building, and then tongues of fire resting on the heads of each of them. The fire did not hurt or burn them, but the disciples started talking in about 16 languages they may never have heard before. A crowd gathered. They had perhaps heard the hurricane-like wind. Their reactions were what one might expect. "How is it that these uneducated people can speak in our language in which we grew up?" Others shrugged it off, saying, "They're drunk." Now the greatest miracle of all occurred. Something had happened. The personalities of these followers, these disciples, took a great turn. Once fearful, they now proclaimed the truth about Jesus. They talked about him openly as one who has been crucified and now was alive. They explained what had happened to them in the fulfillment of what Jesus said would happen. The Holy Spirit had come upon them, and they were changed. People try to achieve highs in all kinds of ways, most of them stupid and even destructive. Now that the world is confronted with a holy high, all it can say is that these people must have had too much new wine. "No," replied Peter, "it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, and you'd better listen to what I have to say. This Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses, this good news bears the promise of his Holy Spirit. What you see and hear is what God our Father is pouring out on the whole world. A new and holy high comes to people today with the good news of Jesus Christ. In a repetition of Pentecost, what happened to those disciples happens to people today. They share the good news about Jesus. They could not do it before, but now they can. Pentecost resulted in thousands of people repenting of their sins on that day and during coming days. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That kind of thing is spread throughout the world, like wildfire. The phenomenal story of the birth and growth of the church described in the book of Acts, the fifth book of the New Testament, is still going on. It is the story of God's Holy Spirit appearing to people in the rushing mighty wind with his power of flaming fire, which turns out to be faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is doing that today. Are you running for cover? When the cloudburst of God's Holy Spirit comes upon people, they so often put up their umbrellas. They don't want the Spirit of God around. They don't want the Spirit of God telling them how they are to act in their homes, at work, with their friends, or sometimes even in church. They don't want a holy high. They want to avoid his power. They want to hold off from the life he gives. People who have received the power of the Spirit sometimes have big leaks in their lives. They leak the power the Spirit gives. They try to compartmentalize their lives, keeping one part for God and another part for themselves. Instead of trusting God, they worry, are afraid, and shudder at every shadow. The Spirit of God plugs the leaks and helps people to reach for the peaks. Reach for the peaks, and let the holy high of God's Spirit take over your life. Take a stand for the gospel of Jesus. He died for you to forgive those very real sins which need to be forgiven. Take up the power of the Spirit and live the new life in Christ, which is a lot better than the old life, with all of its futile efforts to justify yourself. Being justified by Christ, by what he did for you and what he continues to do for you, St. Paul said, be at peace with God. That's exactly what Peter said to the people on that special Pentecost when they asked, what do we do now? How do we respond? With all the boldness of the Spirit, Peter told them, all of you must repent, turn away from your sins, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven, and you then will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit. More and more people did that. Together with the other disciples, they gathered together regularly, every day, we are told. They learned from the apostles who taught those people about the scriptures. They told them what Jesus said when he was here on earth. The new believers prayed together. They had a close and warm fellowship. They had their meals together. How close can you get? Not only did they eat their bread and butter and meat together, they shared Holy Communion, the sacrament of God, together. They heard Jesus saying to them, take, eat, this is my body, given for you. Take, drink, you all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this every time you drink from this cup, in remembrance of me. The catchword of the whole book of Acts is, full of the Holy Spirit. We're told about Barnabas, for example, a wonderfully human man, that he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit. When the apostles were asked how they could do this or that, they spoke up bravely, full of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the name of Jesus, we have done this. That's what they said. Peter and John, after being questioned by the authorities, reported back to the group of believers, and they all prayed together about what had happened. Then we read, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to proclaim God's message with boldness. It was like Pentecost all over again. The church spread out, and the gospel was preached here, there, and then everywhere. It is being preached that way today, even over the airwaves. God is pouring out his Spirit upon the world, and the acts of the Holy Spirit are being repeated in the lives of ordinary people like ourselves. The Holy Spirit's power, that's what all of us need. God gives us that power in his word. Acts is one of the most beautiful, exciting books in the Bible. Open yourself to the Spirit. You need to repent. Repent of your sins. Don't waste your time repenting of the sins of other people. Repent of your sins, your own sins. Receive forgiveness, which comes from God, straight to you. Go straight to the Lord, as the early Christians did. They had troubles, but they always found reason to rejoice. When they were together, they prayed, and the Spirit sent them away rejoicing. The cloud burst of God's power is upon you today. You've got to get wet if you're going to get a holy high. Like camping out, you begin to enjoy the whole idea of getting wet. It's part of the game, something you can't enjoy unless you get out there. Get wet with the Spirit's power. Let God rejoice your heart with the good news of Jesus Christ. Take heart from the power and authority of God's Word. Get wet with baptism in the name of Jesus and stay wet with the power of the Spirit. Commit yourself to God. He wants you and you need Him. Take a moment now to think about some of the sins that you want to confess to God personally. Talk to Him with me right now. Merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in Your way and walk in Your ways to the glory of Your holy name. With the forgiveness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit working both on you and in you, you can experience even now a new and holy high which comes to people with faith and love that are real, because they are in Christ Jesus. It is for real, the Spirit's power. It is for real, as you are for real, by the Spirit's power, with that love and faith that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.